Two buttons. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody have a good turkey this weekend? How many people raise a hand and feeling like this? It feels good, don't it? Before we start, I want to go over this little announcement about Rock University. This year, this 2001, Y2K plus one, we are going to go through the Bible. It's going to be the year of the Word here at the church. Everybody say the year of the Word. Very good. We're going to read through the Bible together. How many people in here have never read through the Bible? Just raise your hand. Great. We got a lot of candidates. You should be excited. We're going to read through the Bible together, and we are going to learn a lot about the Bible. Now, one of the tools we're going to use is the daily walk, and you have a blue flyer in your bulletin. I think they went over this in the announcements, and we are going to subscribe to the daily walk, and we're going to have the daily walk sent to your house if you subscribe. It's $18 for the year, $1.50 per month, but we would like the $18 all at one time, if you can spring that. And then as you read it inside the daily walk, for every book that we read through, there's going to be a little overview of the book that we're reading. And then every day they'll have a little devotional that you can go through and kind of give you some nuggets about what you're reading. And what we are going to do as a church is we are going to take reading through the Bible one step further, and we are in the process of creating a Rock University. We're going to call it Rock U. And it's an equipping ministry of the church. I don't know why people don't like get a chuckle. I think that's the coolest name. Every time I say it here, it's just like, I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, not that you don't get it, but I think it's kind of like, you know, rock you, you know, I'm going to rock you, whatever. I'm sorry, you know. It's kind of late now. I've already been crushed and, you know, and destroyed. But Rock U is going to be a web page, and Rock U is going to follow the readings through the Bible, and we are going to supplement all the Bible information that we're reading. In other words, when we go through Genesis, we're going to have a page in Genesis, and we're going to have, it says Book of Beginnings, and we're going to learn all the books of the Bible and what they mean. Genesis is the Book of Beginnings. Everybody say Book of Beginnings. And so there'll be if you click on Book of Beginnings, there'll be another page. We're not going to do that right now, but there'll be another page where you can list and learn many things that began in Genesis, and then we'll ask you as a quiz to look at some other stuff that began in Genesis, like death, sin, creation, marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of stuff that began in Genesis. We'll give you a little homework assignment. But we're also going to have every week, we'll have whatever book we're studying, and every week we'll have a Bible difficulty. A Bible difficulty is an apparent contradiction in the Bible. Give example. God made Adam and then Eve, and they knew each other, and they had kids, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel, K-I-L-T, dead. Then Cain was by himself, and the Bible says that Cain ran and married his wife. Well, where'd she come from? His sister. Bam. Now, when I said that in the first service, a little kid down here went, ew. And I was like, you're right. But that's where he got it. And then there'll be a little yellow button, FMI, right there that says for more information. And we'll have, you can hit that button, boom, and find out why he married his sister and why it was okay to do that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll be able to look up more information. So we're going to have Bible difficulties every week. We're going to have Bible trivia every week. We're going to learn the books of the Bible, first five books of the Bible. Let's all quote those. Matter of fact, let's put them up there, and then we'll just in case someone doesn't know them. We're going to go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, let's all say them together while they're up there. Let's just read them. Ready? One, two, three. Genesis. Okay, we're going to do all 66 books by the end of the year. We're going to do about five or six a month, which is very easy. And we're going to not only learn the books, but we're going to learn what they're about. Genesis is the book of what? Right. What began in Genesis? Life, death, creation, sin, marriage, music, craftsmanship, carpentry, all that stuff's in the Bible. We'll give you little verses. You can look it up. Exodus is the exit from Egypt. C-E-X, exit, E, Egypt. the Jews' exit from Egypt. That's what the book's about. Okay? And we'll go on. Leviticus is the law. Numbers is the wanderings. Deuteronomy is the second time they gave the law. So we're going to learn all the books of the Bible. And you know what? By the end of the year, you're going to be a Bible whiz. Okay? So that is Rock University. Now, Rock University doesn't cost anything. It's going to be on the internet. It's free. It's just when you're home. Anytime, any day, you can get on the internet and just start studying with us as we go through the Bible. So as you're reading through the Bible, you get more information. And every 3 months, we're going to have a quiz on this information. At the end of the year, we'll have a final exam. And what do you get if you pass? A pat on the back. We really don't have anything to give you. And, you know, we'll probably come up with a diploma because we're hoping we can make these exams timed on the internet where you have to do them a certain amount of time or your computer starts to smoke. And then if you complete it, we'll send you a diploma, but it'll be something. But by the end of the year, you will have learned several hundred pieces of information. Okay, 52 books. We're going to learn a verse a week. That's another 52. We're going to learn 52 Bible trivia, 52 Bible difficulty. There's 200 things right there. And so we're going to learn a lot of information. And if you learn them a little bit at a time, by the end of the year, you're going to be a whole lot more comfortable than you are now with the Word of God. Amen? Let's all see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let there be light. Let's see your pens. Pens. Okay. How many people are not here because you're on vacation? Very good. We have one birthday to announce. Jennifer Ramirez, are you here? Where are you? Someone gave me bad information. Is she here? Jennifer? Stand up. She's in the lobby. No, she's... Is anybody's birthday today? Anybody else? Stand up, please. We need to sing happy birthday for somebody. Okay, what's your name? Huh? Ty. Oh, that's Ty. How you doing, Ty? How old are you? 22. How long have I known you since you were 14? Yeah, pretty much. And we're looking for Jennifer Ramirez. This girl better come in here. She better be her birthday, too. Jennifer, we're going to sing happy birthday for you. Okay, let's all sing happy birthday. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear y'all. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, turn to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to be doing a lot of Bible jumping today. Is that okay? Very good. Revelation chapter 1. I was on a plane witnessing to this woman, and as I was sharing her the verses of the Bible, she says, I don't believe in the Bible. The Bible is written by man. And I said to her, do you believe that there's a God? She says, oh, absolutely. Do you believe that God created the heavens and earth? Oh, absolutely. Do you believe that God created you? Oh, absolutely. Your eyes, your brain, your face, your fingers, your toes. Absolutely. You believe God created the heavens, the birds, the bees, the bears, the lions, all that stuff. Absolutely, God created all that. And why can't he write a book? It's not really that difficult. I mean, I'm on the process of writing my sixth book. Now, my books aren't, they're not the Bible. But if God did all of that, why can't he figure out a way to put a book together that would righteously represent what he feels? I mean, that's the point. Man can't mess up what God wants to do, okay? And so when you and I read the Bible, and we're going to say we're going to read the Bible in a year, we have to understand how unique and special this book is. It's not just another book. Okay, we have books in school. We have books, medical books. I bought a book, Gray's Book of Anatomy book. It's about that thick. If anybody in medical field, you know what I'm talking about. It's just so detailed about the body and bones and muscles and everything. You know, that's a book. with information that changes because we learn more. You know, we're watching the election stuff. Everybody watching that? I mean, it's like it's on every channel, and they always got different opinions and different stories. And it isn't amazing that all these educated attorneys, lawyers, judges, people can have different opinions about the same thing. This is what the law says. No, this is what the law says. You guys are wrong. You guys are right. And they're fighting each other. Now, there's a lot of bias and personal opinion and all that and desire all mixed up in that. But it is a mess. Okay? The Bible, on the other hand, is so unique for many reasons. One reason is that it was written over a 1,600-year period by over 40 different people. They didn't know each other. They lived on three different continents. Some were rich, some were poor. Solomon was the richest man ever to live. Some were poor. Some were in prison. John the Apostle was on Patmos. He was exiled in prison. Paul was literally in prison when he wrote some of his epistles. Daniel and Ezekiel were in captivity. Nehemiah was working for the king, but he was in distress. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, very depressed. David was happy when he wrote some of the Psalms. Peter was a fisherman. Amos was a herdsman. Joshua was a military general. Luke was a doctor. Solomon was a king. David was a king. Matthew was a tax collector. Paul was a rabbi. All these people lived over 1,600 years. They had varied lives. Some were in fields, some were in palaces, some were in prisons, some were in caves, some were on boats. They had all these different experiences. But what God supernaturally did is he communicated his messages to all of them, and they wrote about hundreds of topics: marriage, sex, money, salvation, end times, conflict resolution, parenting, being a child, how to love people, how to be patient, how to act, how not to act. All this stuff he wrote about over all these years. The Bible has 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Old Testament was written in Hebrew. New Testament was written in Greek. All this stuff he wrote, and he put it all together supernaturally because God is bigger than the process. He's bigger than man. And he put it all together in this thing we call Bible, which means books. And it's supernatural. It's more than the law, as we're seeing in Florida, how they're saying that they're changing the law. God doesn't change. Because, see, time begins here and time's going to end here. God is outside of time. God knows the whole story. You know what I'm saying? He knows the whole story, and he's involved in the whole story, and therefore when he wrote the Bible, he wrote it knowing everything that was going to be needed to be in it, and he wrote it knowing everything we were going to need to know, and he put it in there, and he picked the right people through whom he can speak, to whom he can reveal the truth. When we read the Bible, we must believe that. We can't go into reading the Bible doubting or questioning where it came. Now, not questioning that we don't want to know, but questioning whether it was valid. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan came up to Eve. Remember that? And she was in the garden doing whatever she was doing. And he says, "Hey, girl, what's your name? Come over here." And she walked over there, and he said, "What did God really say?" "Well, he said we can't eat from the tree." Da, da, da. He said, no, that's not what he said. God lied to you. Well, she wasn't totally convinced that God was telling her the truth. So she allowed herself to be tempted. You have to be convinced that God is telling the truth. You have to be convinced that God is telling the truth. You have to be convinced that God, not only does he have not the capability to lie, he doesn't lie. He has no reason to lie. He's God. He really doesn't. He's God. So when we read the Bible, we have to realize that this book is everything we need. It was compiled and put together just the way God saw fit that we would get the message. Now, even though there are different translations, now the original comes in Greek and Hebrew. Translations come off what those mean. The God's Spirit is working through that. Let's read Revelation chapter 1. First step of getting the Word of God is revelation. He revealed information to people. Look what it says. Verse 1, the revelation the revealing of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. John was exiled to Patmos, an island. Verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all the things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads those things, who hears these words of this prophecy, and who keep those things in which they are written, for the time is near. John is writing what has been revealed to him. First thing God would do is he would reveal, show his chosen people what he wanted to be communicated. Now, here's what's amazing. I had a guy not too long ago say to me, he says, Miles, you always talk about God speaking to you. Because when I talk to him on the phone, I say, you know, God told me this, or God told me this, or God's telling me this. And he goes, I don't know about that, he said to me. This is a Christian guy, and he's a great guy, very good friend of mine. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, what do you mean when you say God speaks to you? He never speaks to me. I said, yes, he does. He does speak to you. You know what you need to do? Get out a pen and get out a paper and say, God, speak to me. And put the pen on the paper like this. Watch this. And just leave it there and write what comes to your mind, what comes to your heart. Just start writing. Now, if you did that, you may say, well, that's just me writing. Someone told me once, don't ever pray. Don't ever stop praying until you hear God speak to you. And the first time I did that, I got on my knees and I got scared because I was waiting to hear, Miles. And I was like, man, what's this? What's going to happen? I said, God, I'm not getting up until I hear you. And you know what? This small, still voice sounded like my conscience started speaking to me. How did I know it was God? Because it was stuff that I wouldn't think of. It was either words of knowledge. It was either encouraging thoughts, correcting thoughts, wisdom and guidance on different things, ideas. So what I started to do years ago, I would write down everything this voice would say. And so then I leave it. Come back the next day or later that day. Do it again. Then I do it again. And you know what happens? You start writing stuff down, and then you go back and read it. And you know what? He starts to see a pattern, and he's telling you the same thing. Slow down. Tell your wife you're sorry. Tell your boss you were wrong. This is not stuff you would normally do. Amen? And you start to, and then he'll say, youth ministry or prison ministry or prayer ministry. Me. And I talked to a woman in the first service, and she's feeling like she wants to get into counseling, and she's taking classes. She feels like she wants to do this, and this voice keeps telling her, you're never going to be able to do it because you're not good enough. That's the devil. And it's discouraging her. But you know what? When you hear those voices, let me tell you something. It's almost sometimes evidence that God is leading you because the devil's trying to stop you. And so my challenge to you is one, believe that God revealed his word, just like he revealed his word to his disciples. He can reveal his word to you. But my challenge to you is to write down what he's revealing. Record it. Pay attention to it. And then the next step is when you hear this voice, obey it. In other words, when God told me to start a church, what did I start to do? I didn't go, okay, what do I do now? I started to walk in that direction and begin the process. And the more I walked in that direction and began the process and just started to write notes on it, he would give me more ideas and more ideas and more ideas and reveal more truth to me and more truth to me, which was more encouragement to keep walking in that direction, which was more evidence to me that he was speaking. He does this to you every day. He does this to you every day. That's what he did to these guys. He revealed to them. And just a little side note to all of you, he will reveal to you and speak to you more. You'll hear him more clearly, and he'll speak to you more frequently in the area of ministry that he wants you to be in or whatever he wants you to do. I mean, if you're a prayer person, let me tell you something. He's going to talk to you about prayer. If you're a teaching person, he's going to reveal stuff to you and show you how to teach. If you're an administrative person, he's going to give you ideas on how to do that, how to serve and do that. If you're a preacher, he's going to give you preaching stuff. And that's what God will do. And that's what you have to, if you know what your gifts are, you need to ask God to speak to you through your gift and show you and give you insight through your gift. That's when it gets really exciting. Next step is inspiration. Everybody say inspiration. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, Peter. Hebrew, James, Peter. Revelation was God reveals something, inspiration, where now the Holy Spirit starts working in you to receive it and communicate it. Revelation is, boom, here it is. Inspiration says, I got it, and I'm going to give it. Whenever I go speak, I have to pray for inspiration. Now, I can be in my room and get revelation. I see what I'm going to say. I got the word right here. This is the revelation to me. And God's going to, but as I'm reading it, God's going to inspire me to communicate it. Because I have been in places where I have not been inspired, where I'm talking and just talking information. It's not a good place to be. It's a very scary place to be. But the best place to be is where the Holy Spirit's working and inspiring and moving me to say what I'm supposed to say. Look at verse 20 in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20, it says, 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. In other words, man didn't sit here and figure it out or create it. It didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important if you are sharing your faith with people to be holy, because your sin is what's going to be an obstacle for you hearing God and communicating it with power. Oh, you could say the words. You can say the words, but you don't want to say words. You want rivers of living water to flow through you. Words just happen to be one of the vehicles. But you know what? God can minister through you without even saying anything. St. Francis of Assisi said, share the gospel at all times and use words when necessary. Now people should say, man, something's different about you. Why are you so nice? Why are you so courteous? Why are you so patient? Why are you so forgiving? Why are you so loving? Not because you're telling people the gospel, because you're living it. Yeah, by saying thank you, or by opening a door for somebody, or by saying no problem, or you're forgiven. But you're not actually saying, Jesus, you need to be saved. People look at you and go, something different. Because the Holy Spirit is moving through you. The next part of God communicating his word to man is illumination. Turn to John chapter 16. Illumination. Everybody say illumination. How many books in the Bible? Say 66. How many parts of the Bible? Say 2. How many books? How many parts? Very good. First part is the, say Old Testament. Old Testament. Say Old Testament. And the second part is the? Very good. Very good. Illumination. John 16. John 16, verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, not it, he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit is a he, not a light or a power or a glow. When he has come, he will guide you in all truth. Have you ever been reading through the Bible and you come to church or you're reading on your own and all of a sudden a verse pops out and you go, I never saw that before. Anybody ever do that? You go, wow. You know what? You saw it before. Your heart just didn't see it before. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit does this to you. He does this to your heart. He goes, bleep. And the eyes of your heart all of a sudden comprehend the meaning. He comprehended. I'm going to tell you a joke, and I want you to notice when I tell this joke how people in here will laugh at different times. Unless it's, if it's a real good joke, you all probably should laugh at the same time. But this is my son's has been on this joke binge, and actually this is one of my daughter's jokes. This is my daughter's jokes. How many Floridians does it take to install a light bulb? None, because they can't find a hole. Okay, see how she laughed loud and y'all didn't laugh back there? Here's why. When you tell a joke and you get it, your mind is trying to discover the meaning. And then all of a sudden, you get it and you laugh. Or you go, ha, 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 ha. Some people don't get it. They just go, I don't get it. I'm not I don't tell a lot of jokes. I'm just kind of funny. But what happens is, when you read the Bible, sometimes you don't get it. You read this and go, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then all of a sudden, bleep, you get it. And you go, I never saw that. You know what that is? The Holy Spirit opening your eyes, your heart, to see the spiritual truth. God reveals his truth to his servants. He inspires them to receive it and communicate it. And then he illuminates the meaning to you and me. And he also illuminates the meaning to the person who receives it. But when we hear it, sometimes you can sit there and I don't get it. I don't get it. And all of a sudden, your heart, your mind, the eyes of your heart open up and you go, I understand now what I'm supposed to do in this situation. That's why in church, a lot of times you leave here and you go, you know what? Now I know what I'm going to do with my job. Now I know what I'm going to do with my wife. Now I know what I'm going to do with this business decision. Because what? God opened your eyes to the meaning of the word as it applies to your life. You have to understand two things. One, that the guys who wrote the Bible had all that figured out. God showed it to them. He inspired them to receive it. He opened their eyes up to what it meant, and they wrote down exactly what he wanted. That is not a difficult thing for God to do. If God can create the heavens and the earth, make fish, make whales, make elephants, make caterpillars, make people, design hands, he can do this. Write this down. He can do that. We have to believe that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. My father lives in Florida. He did not like that joke. Like most of y'all. I thought it was kind of funny. It's my daughter's joke. You blame her. 2 Timothy 3:16. Look what it says. All scripture. 3:16. Just like John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some, all. And look what it says. It is profitable or useful for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, let's read that last sentence. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good spiritual work. Spiritual work. The word of God is given by inspiration of God. God inspired these men. He revealed it to these men. And it is so complete and correct and accurate that you can use it for doctrine. You could use it for reproof. You could use it for correction. You could use it for instruction in righteousness. Don't answer this or respond, but just think about it. Do you want to be righteous? Read the Bible. You want to be able to correct yourself and correct other people in a righteous manner with righteous direction? Use the Bible. You want to be able to reprove people? You want to be able to teach doctrine or understand doctrine? Read the Bible. It's all in the Bible. God didn't make a mistake. He wrote exactly what he wanted to write, and what's in the Bible is exactly what he intended to be in there. He's bigger than that. He can do that. When I write my books, I write them all out, and then I send them to my editor. I mean, my publisher, who has an editor. And they usually sit on it for 3 months, and then they send it back to me. And they send me back paper, because I send it to them on a disc, and they send me back paper, and it has all this red ink. Fix this, fix this, fix this. What does this mean? We don't understand. Put a story here. Take this out. Da 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 da. And it's just a whole book all jacked up. Then I got to go and fix it again and send it back to them again. God doesn't need anybody to edit his book. He wrote it one time. That's it. He just went whoop, and it's done. We have to believe that. It is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Turn to John 1. John, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. And for the small groups, this is going to be our memory verse for the week. In the beginning, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Are y'all with me? Look what it says in verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The Word is a him. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Remember when he was 12 years old in the temple? And the rabbis were all educated. They had their robes and their little bells and the thing, their little, you know, the whole deal on, and their hats and their phylacteries. And they were sitting there, yes, young man, do you understand the higher things of the Lord, of the Word of God? I am the Word. I am the Word. Whenever Jesus was in the house talking about the Word, he was talking about himself. He was talking about why he existed, from where he came, from being truth himself. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's truly the way to life. He's life, true way. That's who he is. So he was sharing all that. He was just talking about himself. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 says, 1 verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Remember we just said, through him all things were made? Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus is the brightness of the glory of the Father and the express image of his person. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. When you see the Father, you see the One. They're one. And when you read the Bible, everything that they represent is represented in the Bible. It all agrees. It does not contradict. It does not contradict. Now, look at Hebrews 4. Watch this. Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God, Remember, the Bible, Jesus, the scriptures, inspired, revealed, the laws, the commandments, the statutes. The Word of God is living and powerful. Watch this, y'all. Woo, 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 woo. Are you with me? Woo, 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 woo. Everybody do it with me one time. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, it's alive. Okay? The Word of God is woo, 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 woo. It's alive and it's powerful. Ba-boom. And look what else it is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That means it cuts on both sides. You don't have to saw. You just stick it in and it cuts like that. Piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know what the Bible says? One, God's word is living. When you read the Bible and you memorize the Bible, it's alive. It's going to speak to you. It's going to interact with your thoughts, with your fears. That's why if you memorize the Bible and you're driving down the street or you're walking or you're at the work and all of a sudden God's words comes into your mind and you start thinking spiritual things, that's God speaking to you. That's the living word speaking to you. Because your carnal mind and my carnal mind doesn't want to hear the word of God. It doesn't want to have the light of God's word in our life. God's word is living. That's why if you read it and you memorize it and you study it, it's going to interact with you. And if you go to bed thinking about it, you'll wake up thinking about it. And if you think about it during the day, all of a sudden your mind is going to be renewed because it's alive. And it's powerful, so powerful, can make a prideful man humble, can make a lustful man pure, can make an ignorant woman wise. It can make a sinner repent. That's how powerful it is. It can take a drug addict and make him a teacher. Clean up their life. That's how powerful it is. It's not just a book. So that's why you have to one, understand from where it came, how it came to us, what it wants to do. And that is Jesus himself. He's the one interacting with you, talking to you about him and what he wants you to do for him. And so the Bible says here that it's living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit. If you ever get in an argument with somebody, argue with them with the word. You don't even have to raise your voice. Bible says. The word of God says. And you know what God's word will do? Jack them all up. You know what the Bible says? If you love your enemy, it's like heaping burning coals on their head. Think about the person you can't stand the most. Which you need to pray for, by the way. I'm not condoning not can't standing people. Just want to clarify that. You said that. It's okay with what I say. But we all have those people in our life that we pray for more than others. You know what the Bible says? Love them. I don't want to love them. It's like putting burning coals on the head. Okay, I'll love them. But you got to love them sincerely. You know why? Because it burns them up. You just love them. Nay, 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 nay. You can't bother me. You don't hurt me anymore. Because if they don't like you, you don't like them, they want to hurt you. And when you love them, the Spirit of God is going to say, you know what? Your hate is not working here. And you know what God's word will do? It'll start to melt their heart. Some of my close friends now are people that we used to hate each other. Hate each other. And God just removed it and changed it all around. Because the word of God is living and active and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And when you're in an argument with someone or in a discussion with someone or you're making a tough decision, you come and say, the word of God, God showed me. And the word of God could be something you got in prayer. You know, I didn't read a verse that said Miles started church or Miles married this woman. God reveals through his conversation with you through prayer, but he's never going to communicate anything to you through prayer that is going to contradict his Bible. You're never going to hear God say, Miles, go slap your mother. It's not going to happen. You're going to say, Miles, go love your mother. Go encourage your mother. Go say sorry to that person. Go pray for that person. Go give that person this verse. Go share this with this person. He's always going to communicate to you something that is congruent or agreeable with the Word of God. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, I tell you how a word is. When I first got saved, this is one of the first verses that I was taught when I was discipled in 86. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. What we have to understand is that when we read this book, the origin of the information in this book comes from a place we don't know of. It comes from a God who does not live under the circumstances we live, or within the constraints that we live in. I was in a plane once flying home, San Diego, and I was flying parallel to the storm. It's like that wall back there was a storm, and I'm in a plane flying parallel to the storm. Looking out the window, and it was a lightning storm. And it was for half an hour. It was amazing. I like lightning. I like thunder. And it was like, bah, 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 bah. Every 3 or 4 seconds, lightning. Bah, 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 bah. For 30 minutes. And I'm thinking, man, those people on the ground, there's some scared little kids down there, but there's also some excited people. They like lightning because it was just going on and on. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm over here maybe 50, 100 miles away. I don't know how far away we were, but there were no clouds where I was. Now, to them, it was raining and thunder and lightning. To the people under my plane, it was just a beautiful night. But their world was raining. This world was a beautiful night. And to them, hey, everything's fine. We get past the storm. And then all of a sudden, it was clear sky, and I could see the city and the land, and then the land, the earth ended, and then the sky was all stars. It's almost like I could see off the edge of the planet, Earth. And then I saw the stars. And I sat there for another half an hour, it was a long flight, thinking, look at all that. And God just went, pew, with the stars, with his fingers, the Bible says. And I'm looking at this going, we are so puny. Because those stars out there are so far, and they are so much bigger than this planet, and so much brighter, and they're so, the Bible says they're countless. And I'm looking at this going, and you know what the Bible says here? That as high as the heavens are above the earth, and I can't even see nearly 1/1,000,000th of how far out it goes. God says, well, if you can measure that, that's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts. Get all the education you want. You won't even come close to what I know. Now, if we establish that fact that God's thoughts are up here and God's thoughts are always right, God always knows best. If his thoughts are up here, our puny thoughts are down here, no matter how much education we have, no matter how much experience we have, God always knows something better than us. I mean, do we know that, right? Because I think sometimes we don't acknowledge that. We say, you know what, I know what's best, and we do this without asking him. Because, see, if we really were convinced that he knew what was best all the time, we would always ask him. And for us who are a little older and we've had different experiences in our life, we know that we've made mistakes that we could have avoided by asking him. And they would have been able to save us a lot of headache. Amen? Some of the people we've dated, some of the people we worked with, some of the decisions we made, blah, 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 blah. You know what it says? Look what it says in verse 10. As the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Whenever you see it rain or snow, it is not just coming down to do nothing. The Bible says it comes down and it has an effect on the ground, brings life, and then it is evaporated or processed into a plant or an animal drinks it or whatever. What he's saying is that just as that happens, so is my word. My word goes out because it's living and active, because it's God, because it's my son, because it's pure, because it's like fire, because it's like a hammer, because it, look at all this stuff. It's like water. It's like a seed. Because it's all these things, it goes into people's hearts. And some of the people who have a hard heart, they'll fight it. People have a soft heart, it'll start to grow and change them and speak to them and correct them and guide them and renew their mind. The question of how much it changes you is up to you. If you are willing to let God's word change you, grow you, mold and shape you, what you will become will be something that is as high as the heavens or above the earth. I would have never thought I would be speaking in public, ever. Speaking in public is one of the greatest fears in life. Some people say they would rather die than speak in public. That was me before I got saved. I would rather die. Ain't no way I'm going to speak to nobody in public. Are you kidding me? I'll sign autographs and take picture, but I ain't speaking in public. God's thoughts were so high above mine, and God's thoughts for you in your life are so high above yours. The question is, do you have the faith to pursue it by faith according to his word and his promises? But it's all going to start with his word. It's all going to start with his word nurturing you. I'm going to do one more verse, Jeremiah 20, and then we'll end for the day. Jeremiah 20. Next week, we're going to look at the Bereans and our response and what they did, which is a symbol of our responsibility with the word. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Everybody say weeping prophet. And the reason he cried, complained, because nobody listened to him. Anyone hear it? He kept saying repent. They said, get out of here. We're going to do what we want to do. You know what? One of the reasons going to Christian schools is not my funnest thing is because I feel like I get a lot of this. Yeah, whatever. I'm like, hey, I don't need to be here. I'll go to the public school or to non-Christians or to prison or somewhere where people will more readily repent. And there are people in your life, you know who they want to hear the gospel? Walk away. Walk away. Go to somebody else. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Just pray for them. Pray for them. Go to somebody else. God will deal with them. He's got other plans. I'm getting ready to write this book on faith. Actually, I'm going to start it next year, in probably after I finish this one, January, February. And as I'm praying for ideas about the book, God reveals something to me. And he says, Miles, you got to write about pain. And he says, and what he showed me was that he uses a language we understand to teach us a language we don't understand. And that language we understand is pain. It's pain. He says, you don't understand faith, so I got to teach you faith. But the only way I can teach you faith, because it's so hard-headed, is pain. And I'm going to take your money, or I'm going to take your health, or I'm going to take your sense of security, or something, but it's going to be painful. And once I got your attention with the language you understand, then I'm going to teach you what you don't understand, which is faith. And what happens is that there are people you witness to, they don't want to hear it. God needs to speak to them in a language they understand. They don't understand. And that may not be your role. So you just go and pray. Jeremiah was like that. He was preaching, and no one was listening. And he said, I don't want to preach anymore. Look what it says in verse 9. He says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word is in my heart like burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it back. Let's think about this. If you have the living, powerful, inspired, revealed, infallible word of God that's higher than the heavens are above the earth, through which the heavens were created, the wisdom of which the heavens were created, it represents Jesus Christ. It's a living spirit in you. How could you hold that in? How could it not get you like this, where you want to say it, live it, know it, think about it, memorize it? Can't, unless you are saying, I don't want to hear it, to some degree. And you may be subconsciously saying that, but you know what? God has so much to tell you. He has so much to do in your life. Daniel was 70 years old, 70, and God put him in the lion's den. He had ministered to four kings. Since he was a teenager, he's been ministering to government leaders. He was 70 years old. And I know Daniel must be thinking, wait a minute, God, I've been through all this stuff. Why are you still messing with me? Get one of those young guys. Two reasons. Daniel, you're the only guy that got enough faith to go down in this lion's den. If I put those young guys in here, they'll start freaking out and screaming and running around and get eaten up. You trust me so much, you'll just lay down. He said, all right. Any other reason? I still got more to teach you. You got more to teach? I'm 70. Now, Daniel didn't say this, but I'm 70 years old. You still want to stretch me? Yep. There you go. I would love to have been that guy that day. Wouldn't you? I mean, just think about this. Wouldn't you love to sleep in a den with a bunch of lions if they weren't going to bother you, and they just and you got to put your head on their mane and they were I got to pet a cheetah once, and cheetahs have real big eyes because they run 70 miles an hour and they're designed to see animals far away so they can, you know, run 70 miles. If you're too close, they don't chase you. It's too boring for them. They got to be able to wah. So they got these big eyes. So the guy said, when you go up to the cheetah, you have to move real slow because he can't see stuff real close. So you don't want to scare him because he may just go, whap! You know, so I had to move real slow. I was like, hi, Mr. Cheetah. I was just like moving in slow motion. And when I got to him, I got to pet him. I had pictures with my cheetah friend. I love cheetahs, one of my favorite animals. And when you're up close to him, you can hear him go like this. Like purring, cats purr, and it was like an engine. And I can imagine what it was like with a lion. And they were just all laying around, because they sleep like 20 hours a day. You know, and yawning. Daniel got to go down there and sleep with them. And after he realized he wasn't going to get munched on, he must have said, this is pretty cool. I got all these big cats just petting them. And then he says, that's fine. You know what God does? God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's desires for you are not your desires. What you have to do is say, Lord, speak to me. Show me something supernatural. Don't read this as only a textbook. Read it as a living book. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Enjoy your holiday and your family. How many people here from out of town visiting? God bless you. Have a good trip back to where you're going. This is the best weather in the country, so we feel sorry for you wherever you're going to. But we sure God is there also. Anybody here going back to New York in the snow? Anybody? Buffalo got 2 feet in one day. I guess God is in all that. You know. Now, snow is a wonderful thing for a day or two. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you just for giving us a reliable tool through which we can know you and interact with you. Lord, I thank you most of all that your word is living and active. It's not just words. It speaks to us. It encourages us. It teaches us. I pray we would begin to prepare our hearts to read it and to learn it and to be transformed by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the first book of the Bible? It is the book of? What's the second book? And it is the? Exit from Egypt. Very good.